on this episode of Therapy Bites Art Lab.
Why, that backstabbing, button-pushing betrayer, I'm never gonna trust anyone again, that son of a gun. Have you had thoughts like this? Today we're gonna talk about what harm those labels can have on our relationships with people and our perspectives. Join us today.
Welcome to Therapy Bites Art Lab, where Dr. Heath and his special guests share real-life stories of helping and healing. Fresh from the actual therapy couch, while taking a bite out of common counseling missteps and misconceptions. And now, here's Heath and the T-Ball team.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Therapy Bites Art Lab. Today, we are going to talk about certain terminology like betrayers, backstabbers, toxic, things that you hear quite frequently in today's society. And we're going to talk about some of the harm that that can have. But what are some labels that y'all have heard recently that seem to kind of stick out?
I've heard about manipulators, toxic, and I have heard button pushers. That's some of the main ones that I've heard, you know, people pushing buttons.
Yeah, what's usually the context of that? Can you kind of give an example?
I think what I have heard is it's when people are insinuating that someone else is doing something on purpose to aggravate them.
Yeah, kind of like they're pushing my buttons.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it's everybody else's fault when they're talking about this.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, that can be an issue because if everything is everybody else's fault, we miss out on the things that we're doing to contribute that aren't actually healthy. And it also builds up disgust. So have you noticed when you're working with people that if they continually use these kinds of terminology or anything like that, that it affects their relationships?
It absolutely does. You give somebody a label and you reinforce that label, and what it does is it builds up disgust.
No, you're right. It does build up disgust. And what I've noticed when I'm working with people is if they allow that disgust to build up too long, it gets to the point where they don't even want to talk to that person. They don't want to be around that person. They almost think of it as harmful to be around that person, especially, you know, that term we hear frequently, toxic, you know, being around them somehow emanates this toxic mist or something like that. But the real truth of the matter is maybe we just don't like what that other person is saying or we don't agree with it. It doesn't mean that they, you know, fit these certain labels that we try to give them. And the harm in giving people these labels is that when we give them that label, we stop seeing them as a human, which is what they are. We don't provide any grace or space or any kindness to the conversation, and it can definitely hinder all of our relationships. But since we are all clinicians here, what are some examples that you have from working with people that you've noticed?
Just kind of like I've heard a big one too that I've heard is like disrespectful. They'll be at work or with friends or just with it, or in just in the supermarket, and something will happen and they were like, well, that person was disrespectful to me, and they're just, you know, or if they see him over and over, they'll talk about how they just keep disrespecting them and not respecting who they are or the situation or things about him, and it kind of builds up that just that irritation that when they talk about it, you can just hear the irritation in their voice. And as you talk to them, they talk about how, you know, they just don't want to be around that person, or they'll just, you know, it probably would be better if they just like cut them out of their life, that they don't need to be around them because it just brings them down every time they're around, or they just don't respect them. And so when I've talked to them about that, we've worked on kind of looking at different perspectives and looking at, you know, well, maybe they were having a bad day. It's just information. It's not anything that they're trying to do, probably vindictively. Like, we don't know what their situation is.
I think that's the key. We don't know.
We don't know. Exactly. Yeah. It's mind reading. Like, so don't assume the worst with it. It's kind of like approaching it with curiosity and approaching it with a open mindset and kind of seeing it from both point of views, that maybe what you saw was disrespectful may not necessarily, they didn't maybe mean it in that way. And so it's just kind of having an open mind about it.
So how are we going to know what somebody means?
Right. I think that's...
Ask them.
Yeah,
ask
them. Exactly. Yeah, ask them. Exactly. Because I think a lot of people, you know, we talk a lot about over-assimilation here, but a lot of people take the tone of voice or the body language, and they're like, oh, well, they had to mean it in a vindictive way because they said it this way. But the problem is different people speak in different ways. So I've known plenty of people, you know, back when we worked with veterans that had these very powerful, deep voices. And you could, if you were over-assimilating, assume that they were angry, but mm-hmm. they really weren't. That's no. just the way that they talk. Mm-hmm. And they have a lot of passion and they're very opinionated. That doesn't mean that they're angry all the time or that they're being hateful towards you. You're welcome to think that, but it's going to hinder the quality of your relationships and your life too.
And kind of a personal experience that I used with clients with that is me and mom went to Branson with dad, and we were in a shopping center, and we had, what, like two items?
Yeah, we had two or three
items, and we were just standing there. We were cracking up. We were throwing jokes and just kind of, you know.
Always.
Oh, yeah, just being ridiculous. But we were doing, you know, quiet, not super loud, but there was this little old lady with a cart in front of us, and she kept turning her head and she'd look back at us and
wrinkled up face.
Yeah, she had that scrunched up nose, and me and mom were both like, oh, we're disturbing her. She's, you know, she's irritated at us. She's gonna like eventually like say something to us, like, you two whippersnappers.
mind reading.
Yeah. Like just like, we're gonna get in trouble. Well, she finally turned around and she was like, you guys only have two or three items. I have a whole cart full. Why don't you guys go in front of me?
Aww, she was so actually she was just, being precious.
Yeah, she was just she thinking was. Like, I have all these groceries. They only have three items. They need to go in front of me. Like, why am I in front of them? But yeah. Like, we told her, no, we were waiting for dad, but you don't know. Like, we assumed, you know, she's just being cranky. She's mm-hmm. irritated. But the truth was, she was contemplating, well, why am I in front of them? They could go first and they'd be done.
Yeah, I think that kind of leans towards, you know, when we have that kind of mindset where we're looking for negativity everywhere,
yes.
we're going to mm-hmm. assume that, you know, most things are negative. So even if you have this relationship with a person and your disgust is growing, even if they do something kind, you know, we're going to perceive that as, well, maybe they just want something or something negative and unhealthy, when it could really be that, oh, this person actually does care. I'm just completely misreading the situation, which, you know, most of the times that I've had a disagreement with somebody, it has been that miscommunication, and it's been my own mind reading that has resulted in the response, you mm-hmm. know, and they were like, that's not even what I thought at all. That's why talking to the people, you know, is very, very important.
And who's to say if we label everyone as manipulators and toxic and button pushers, and who's to say we're not doing the same thing?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly. We're somebody else's button pusher.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, well, what happens to free speech? And mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember, you know, it's kind of funny. Y'all wouldn't know this, but we actually tried to film this episode a while back and we had audio issues with it. But one of the things that Doc Heath was talking about was, we have this concept that he came up with called gas tape, mm-hmm. government approved speech tape. And he likes to say, you know, if I wrap, let's say, Heather's mouth with the government approved speech tape, exactly. If I wrap, y'all can't see it, but she's doing like a, you know, those of you who are audio. But anyways, if I wrap her mouth with that, who's to say that, you know, next week, next month, she won't have the opportunity to wrap my mouth just because, you know, the people that agree with her are the ones that are, quote, you know, the ruling party or the ruling power or whatever. But if we are willing to do that with other people, we have to be willing and open for that to happen to us too. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, kind of what goes around comes around.
Yeah, in some cases, we would all just have to walk around with a roll of gas tape and just be slapping it on each other's mouths constantly.
Yeah,
new world record of who has the most gas tape on their mouth.
Oh, yeah.
And you miss, I think another thing too, is you miss out on a lot. Mm-hmm. I think when you automatically start mind reading and you don't approach, you know, when you immediately judge someone, you judge what they say instead of approaching it with curiosity and wanting to understand more and know, you miss out on a mm-hmm. lot. And I think you miss out on what really makes a relationship stronger and deeper.
The Therapy Bites podcast is HIPAA compliant. No identifying patient information will be disclosed by Therapy Bites podcast hosts or Therapy Bites podcast guests without permission from patients or guardians. All personal stories are de-identified in order to comply with HIPAA, the NASW Code of Ethics, and the ethical principles of psychologists and code of conduct.
fresh from the therapy couch and from the deep dark recesses stories may involve exploding preconceived notions and topics uncomfortable to underthinkers and small farm animals. Audience discretion and duct taping your head for safety is advised. Concrete-headed Kool-Aid drinking humans assume all risks associated with any possibility of choking to death on the accurate, realistic thoughts presented in the Art Lab. This is natural selection, and Therapy Bites podcast management and hosts are not responsible.
Hey guys, welcome to another Fresh from the Therapy Couch segment where we share stories fresh from the therapy couch and sometimes from the deeper, darker recesses beneath. Listen, there's a lot of label mania out there, and as humans, we love to put things in boxes. Just remember in your relationship that labeling your spouse as a certain nasty category simply puts your own brain in a box. Instead of looking at them as a gaslighter, manipulator, controller, or some other nasty label, try labeling them as a person and a person that you remember and remind yourself that you love. Believe me, it makes a big difference.
You're listening to Therapy Bites Art Lab, bite-sized therapy for your brain with Dr. Heath and the T-Ball Team. The best advice on the net. No copay required.
For full show notes and transcript of today's episode, go to therapybites.podbean.com.
Here's Heath and the T-Ball Team.
Yeah, the difficulties are actually what result in the stronger relationships. So if I can't talk to, let's say, my husband, you know, we have really, really good communication, not all the time, but if I can't talk to him about something because I'm thinking, well, he's just not going to agree with me, or we're going to have this big old argument or something like that, that's keeping us from deepening our relationship. And really, we should be able to talk about anything, even if we disagree, especially if we disagree, mm-hmm. because that's going to build our relationship even stronger. But if, on the other hand, if I decide to say, well, he's just betraying me, he knows that I don't like that, so he's pushing all my buttons, in reality, that's probably the last thing on his mind. He probably isn't just sitting there, you know, maniacally, y'all can't see me, but I'm rubbing my hands together, maniacally rubbing his hands together, trying to figure out how to make my life miserable. But a lot of people will get that perspective on other people, and it really hinders relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So with all of this information that we're talking about, how do we handle it? How do we help people through this? What is the way to reverse the, you know, proverbial damage on the relationship?
I think communication is the first key, keeping that open communication
mm-hmm.
and approaching it with curiosity.
Active listening.
Yes.
Listening to understand, not to respond.
Yeah.
We're always so quick, naturally, we're listening to somebody and we're just chomping at the bit, you know, what we're going to respond back.
Mm-hmm.
Where we need to practice active listening, really listening to what they're saying and trying to get into their perspective, kind of see where they're coming from. And also, you know, what we do all the time, the CBT, the cognitive behavioral therapy, the ABC model, is figure out, you know, ask ourselves, what am I telling myself? What am I thinking?
Mm-hmm.
And restructuring that. What would serve this relationship better? What would serve me better? I always try, before I answer someone, I stop and I try to think about what I'm going to say. And I ask myself, how is this going to benefit this relationship? How's it going to affect this relationship?
Yeah. And I think, too, it's important along those lines to think, how is this line of thinking benefiting me?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm starting to think that the whole world is against me, that's very unlikely, by the way. What are the areas in my thinking that I can change, that I actually have control over? I don't know if y'all know this or not, but we only have control over us.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever get a chance, I highly recommend The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. Wonderful book. But in there, he talks about the circles of concern and influence. Our circle of influence is what we have control over, which is, you know, our thoughts, our behaviors. Our circle of concern is what we don't have control over. But the more we focus on that circle of concern, and those of you who are on audio won't be able to see this, but imagine a smaller circle inside of a bigger circle. So if I focus on that bigger circle, which is my circle of concern, my circle of influence is going to shrink. That results in a more of a reactive approach. So instead of really fully thinking through what I need to do in this situation, leaving space there for that thought before that reaction, I'm going to just lash out. And I'm going to probably tell myself, well, I just couldn't control myself. I had no control over that. Not true, by the way. But if I focus more on my circle of influence, which are the things that I have control over, my thinking, my perspective on the situation, I'm going to be able to change the way that I perceive the situation, change the way I perceive the person. And whether that person changes or not, I still know that whatever happens, I can handle it, and it's not that person's fault per se. Now, if there is like an abusive situation, a child abuse situation, that is different. Mm-hmm. But we're not talking about those right now. We're talking about when we decide to just label people that we don't agree with terms like betrayer, manipulative, toxic, all that kind of stuff.
Yes, because it really what's going on is somebody is saying something that you don't prefer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's right. Not what you want to hear, something you don't agree with. You know, I know Doc Heath has talked about words. It's just air set in motion. Mm-hmm. We give the meaning to those words. And when you think about it, it's so much more empowering to realize that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
That we have the control over how we decide to think about things.
Mm-hmm. Well, and when we have those kind of knee-jerk, which they're not knee-jerk reactions, they're very intricately put together by the way that we're thinking, by the way. But when we have those reactions, you know, and we try to get away from that person that we disagree with, we're just reinforcing that this person is dangerous to me, what they're saying is dangerous to me, kind of kicking in that fight, flight, or freeze response. And it's going to become more and more difficult for us to be around that person mm-hmm. because we perceive them as a threat.
Yes.
Now, what people say to us is not a threat. What is a threat if somebody has something that's going to hurt, you know, our life, if they're going to beat us with a baseball bat, or if they're going to try and push us off of a bridge? You know, I know those sound extreme, but that is actually a threat. Mm-hmm. What somebody says is not a threat unless we decide to take it that way. Now, that doesn't mean there's not going to be anxiety involved, you know, but the anxiety is not what's important. I don't know really anybody that enjoys people yelling at them. I don't. I really don't like it if somebody mm-hmm. raises their voice to me. But I also know that somebody raising their voice to me is not a threat. How have you helped people overcome that?
We talk about how they're, you know, what they're thinking about it, and the education about thoughts and about words, especially because mm-hmm. a lot of people do believe that words are a threat. Mm-hmm. And we talk about the fight or flight, and we talk about how what you tell yourself is so important. Mm-hmm. If I sit here and tell myself, you know, that someone is toxic or someone is manipulating me or things like that, the things that happen in my brain are no different than if a grizzly bear walked in here right now. Mm-hmm. I have the same brain reaction. You know, the brain is doing what it's designed to do to protect us, you know, safety, survival. You know, that's not a healthy way to do it. It's just not helpful.
You can kind of think of our amygdala, it's kind of our danger detector. So I like to think of it as almost a smoke detector. Mm-hmm. And when we decide to kind of program something in our brain as a danger, it's almost as if it thinks the house is on fire. But I don't know if any of y'all have lived in a house where if the toaster burns toast, the fire alarm goes off. So what I try to help the people that I work with understand is it may just be a toaster. It's not a house fire. And that can also be kind of a comical way to think of it. If I notice that I'm experiencing, you know, fight or flight and a lot of anxiety, I need to go back to my thoughts and figure out, is this a house fire or a toaster? And I will even tell myself, well, darn it, I burned there's the toast, it's burnt again, or darn that popcorn in the microwave. You know, it's not a threat. It's not a house fire. But I think kind of bringing it to an end here, because we're actually almost out of time, is just remembering that how we choose to perceive people and what we choose to think is very important. It can be helpful to our relationships or harmful to our relationships. So be very careful if you notice these labels coming out of your mouth. Really do a little bit of introspection and focus on what you're telling yourself about that person. Mm-hmm. Because it's probably not a dangerous situation. You just may not enjoy what that person has to say. But we're actually out of time. So thank you so much for listening to this episode. And we will catch you next week. See ya.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Hey, T-Ballers. Thanks so much for being with us today. If we brought value to your day, show us some love by leaving your positive feedback and inviting some friends to listen in and join the T-Ball team.